function, you apply it to the data directly, which you are going to segment in order to average multiple path spectral densities. You normalize by the energy of the window, divide by m, and then that is the periodogram of one window I, and there are k such windows, and then you average those. The total, the final path spectral density estimate is the average of those individual path spectral densities. So that is known as the Welsh estimate of the PSD. Now, Welsh showed that if the segments are not overlapping, the variance of the averaged modified periodogram is inversely proportional to k, the number of segments you use, treating each one as being independent of the other. So, the larger the number of segments you get, the lower the variance of the estimated periodogram or path spectral density. The spectral window convolved with the path spectral density in the frequency domain is proportional to the squared magnitude of the Fourier transform of the time domain data window. So whichever window you apply in the time domain will have its Fourier transform squared in magnitude applied as the smoothing function. So it doesn't matter what kind of window you apply and what its Fourier transform is. The path spectral density estimate is convolved with the square of the Fourier transform of the window, which is always positive. And as long as the window is real, the convolving function, the smoothing function in the frequency domain will be symmetric, and it's already squared, so it is positive. So you get a positive symmetric window on the path spectral density for convolution. And you can use any type of data window in the time domain applied to the signal, not to the autocorrelation. Yeah? You
determine if there are.
Yeah. What I meant there is the autocorrelation function typically decays. We're assuming that this is a real life signal whose values are uncorrelated for delays more than some limit. This is M, this is capital M. So beyond some level, it is insignificant. What is insignificant? Is it 0.1 or 0.01? I'm not stating that. It is very small. Then you say, we'll choose a window that is of M samples. If the autocorrelation function were to be like that, obviously, this window is not good. This window length is not adequate. You will have to go somewhere there. Yeah? If the signal is periodic, obviously, you cannot do any windowing. Okay. There are a few commonly used data windows that are popular and have good characteristics that support the kind of estimation that we have been talking about here. They are causal, length equal to n samples, and defined for zero, for n going 0 to n minus 1. The basic window, or the effect of not applying any window at all, is a rectangular window, Wn equal to 1. That's the reference. The Bartlett window is a triangular window, 2n over n minus 1, or 2 minus 2n over n plus n minus 1 for positive and negative sides. Or if you want it to be causal, you shift it and it goes up and comes down, n being n equal to 0 being at the beginning. I'll show some plots in a moment. There's the Hamming window, which is defined as 0.54 minus 0.46 cosine of that. And there is the what is called the Hanning window, which is due to von Hahn, and it is defined in this manner using a cosine. These are called raised cosine windows. They're essentially one period of a cosine shifted up with a bias. Then there is Blackmon window, which is defined in this manner. These functions look like this in the time domain. This is a sample number, 0 to 250. These are causal functions. Rectangle would be just constant, 1. Triangle is this one. And then Bartlett, that's a triangle. There is Hamming there, the dashed line outside. And the Hanning or one Hahn window, I've shown two here, one for the duration of 256 samples and a shorter one for 128 samples centered at the same point. So these are some of the popular windows and commonly used. So in the method that we saw just now, the windows are applied directly to the data. The advantage of tapered windows, all of these except the rectangle, which is constant, is that the ends of the signal, given signal, are reduced to zero, except for Hamming. No discontinuities in the periodic version of the signal encountered in DFT-based procedures. And all window functions are symmetric, even functions, so linear phase or zero phase if the window is centered at the origin. That is in the Fourier transform, but in the power spectral density, that doesn't matter. So these are some of the characteristics of these window functions. Now let's look at the effect of these windows in a bit more detail. Here we have the power spectral densities of the windows, magnitude squared, and in dB. The power spectral density of the signal that you're estimating gets convolved with this function. So what you are getting is the real spectral density of the signal that you're trying to estimate affected by convolution with this function in the frequency domain. What you would like this to be ideally is an impulse, so that convolution has no effect and you get the true power spectral density of the signal. In practice, of course, this is not going to be an impulse because you have a finite window. You try to use a window that has an appearance as close to an impulse as possible, an ideal impulse. Then the effect of convolution is nothing. You want smoothing in this case in practical estimation. So you want to make this not an impulse but a little wide. You cannot simply have a wide value here or a wide function here with nothing here. So the compromise we have to get into now is how wide should this main lobe be? Now this is a two-sided function, the same thing exists on this side. I'm only showing normalized positive frequency here. There is a negative side here. So what is being convolved is this, which is both sides of this function repeated or reflected here. You want this to be of a certain width and all of these values to be very small. This is the log magnitude frequency response of the rectangular window, which is a sinc function. You have a main lobe and then side lobes that get smaller and smaller. Here, the width of the main lobe is so much, which is about 0.003 perhaps. And the side lobes are about minus 15 dB, minus 20 and so on, and they settle around minus 30 dB there. if you were to use the Bartlett window, the triangle window, the main lobe has become wider. The side lobes are lower at about minus 50 dB. So you are reducing the effect of these side lobes in convolution. Now, having shown this, now let me explain what is happening here. When you put this function on the power spectral density and convolve, the output that you are getting is the value at this frequency point multiplied by the window value and the other values in the neighborhood multiplied by the main lobe, which is significant. So several values in the power spectral density function in this range of the main lobe are multiplied by these quantities and averaged. So there is smearing in the neighborhood of the point of frequency that you are estimating. So convolution in the frequency domain affects your spectrum in this manner. Suppose you have a spectrum that has two peaks of resonance nearby, and then the same thing on the negative side. Suppose this is the spectrum of your signal. By windowing, you're going to convolve this with this window function response, which is multiplication of this entire window response shifted to the current position of frequency. You multiply the two functions and integrate. So all of these values in this range are multiplied by large values, and all of these other values for the entire range of frequencies get multiplied and added, and the spectrum that you get could be a smooth version. And you may not be able to resolve multiple peaks that are placed nearby because of this averaging. Now, in addition, the side lobes will bring in contributions from the entire spectrum and result in leakage. So these values that you get will be modified by the contributions of the entire spectrum, weighted by these quantities, which are the side lobes. So for this reason, you want the side lobes to be as small as possible. Of course, if you have an infinite observation of your signal, which is a window that is infinitely long, the spectrum of that window is just an impulse. So the effect of convolution is nothing, and you are left with the original power spectral density estimate. So the compromise now is, how big do you want this, and how low can you achieve in terms of side lobes? If you want minimal leakage, you push the side lobes down by designing an appropriate window. And in this case, the Hamming window has all the side lobes, including the first side lobe, below minus 40 dB. But the main lobe has become so wide now. By attempting to, or by reducing the side lobes, or in reducing the side lobes and minimizing leakage from all over the spectrum to this point of the output, we have now made the main lobe so wide that this set of peaks here will simply appear as one big peak. So you cannot separate peaks in the spectrum that are nearby. So this is loss of resolution. The main lobe leads to loss of frequency resolution, and the side lobes lead to leakage and distortion in the spectrum. This is the Hamming window, where now the side lobes decay even more, all the way down to minus 70 dB or so. I'm only showing up to 0.1 in normalized frequency. But the main lobe is bigger. If you use a shorter Hanning window, the main lobe becomes even bigger. So the smaller the window, the more the smoothing of your spectrum, and you're losing spectral resolution. Okay? But the side lobes are low, below minus 60 dB. So in trying to gain one advantage, you're paying the price in something else. You cannot get high resolution and low leakage at the same time. That's an unfortunate fact with this method of windowing. And windowing is inherent when you make an observation over a finite duration. All observations that we make in practice are of finite duration. So there is always windowing, no matter how long you observe your signal. Well, unless it is infinite. So the rectangular window has the narrowest main lobe of width 4 pi over n. The main lobe is wider, 8 pi over n for Bartlett, Hanning, and Hamming windows, and the widest for the Blackman, 12 pi over n. Reduction in the window width leads to increase in main lobe width. The wider the main lobe, the greater is the spectral smoothing, and loss of spectral resolution is severe. So you have to achieve a compromise or choose an appropriate window that will serve your purpose. The rectangular window has the highest peak side lobe level of minus 13 dB. The Bartlett, Hamming, Hanning, and Blackman windows have peak side lobes at minus 25, minus 31, minus 41, and minus 57 dB. Higher side lobes give more spectral leakage and a distorted spectrum. So if you want a clean spectrum with no leakage, then you should use the Blackman window that has the lowest side lobes, minus 57 dB, but it'll have a wide main lobe and you will lose resolution. So reduction of leakage with tapered windows comes at the price of increased main lobe width, which means more smoothing and loss of spectral resolution. You gain one, you lose the other. So here are some examples. This is the Bartlett power spectral density of the O2 channel of the EEG with the alpha wave that we saw earlier, figure 1.22. So here we have at the top the power spectral density of the entire signal. Was it 10 seconds or 8 seconds? I don't remember. Is it here? I think it was 10 seconds. Could you check, please, the figure 1.22? How long is the EEG with the alpha? Okay, so if you just take that attached signal and compute its power spectral density, this is what you get. From 0 to 50 hertz, it was sampled at 100 hertz. It looks extremely noisy because you only have one power spectral density estimate. Or where is the peak? It's a bit hard to see. There is fine detail, but is that real or artifactual? We don't know. Quite likely it is artifactual. It's unlikely that a system will have so many peaks and nulls, so many resonant frequencies and null frequencies. So this is unlikely to represent a real system. But here, this is the EEG, so there is no resonance or null frequency. Had this been a heart sound signal, you could have talked in terms of the resonance frequencies of the cardiac chambers. Now, the middle trace, this one, is the power spectral density of one segment. I broke the signal into 11 segments, and the number of samples in the entire signal is 750. The number of samples in each segment is 64. I took a segment of 64 samples and computed its power spectrum. I got this. So it doesn't vary as much as that, but it still has variations. And if I were to compare this for multiple segments, they would all be quite different. averaging, how many of them? 11 of them gave this spectrum at the bottom. So this is the Bartlett estimate, where now we have a smooth spectrum, a little bit of variation, but as compared to the original, now you see it is a smooth spectrum. There's a clear peak here at about 10 hertz, which is alpha. So by just breaking the given segment signal into segments and averaging their individual pass spectral densities, we get a cleaner estimate. Now there are two peaks here at 9 and 11 hertz. Perhaps these are separate peaks and there are significant levels of energy at those two frequencies. That detail has been lost. There's only one peak here now. So here is an illustration of the loss of spectral resolution. I cannot say if these are significant peaks, but we do see two peaks here. Here is a Welsh estimate applying the Hanning window. So at the top, you have the PSD of the entire signal, and in the middle, you have the PSD of the 11th segment, one segment. And at the bottom, you have the average of 11 segments. The Hanning window was used. The only difference is the use of the Hanning window, which has given a smoother estimate at the bottom here. So the Hanning window has smooth spurious peaks and valleys in the pass spectral density. The wider main lobe of the Hanning window's frequency response means there is more severe loss of frequency resolution or smoothing. The average pass spectral density in the lowest trace that we saw just now indicates the benefit of Hanning window. Reduced power greater than at frequencies greater than 30 hertz and lower side lobe levels of the Hanning window means less spectral leakage as compared to the rectangular window in the Bartlett procedure. So let's go back and take a look here. If you were to compare this, which is the Bartlett estimate, and beyond 30 hertz, there is energy at minus 30 dB. Is that real or not? We don't know. Here, this is going down. The side lobes of the Hanning window are much lower. So we could assume that in the real signal, there isn't much energy beyond 30 hertz. What we are seeing in the Bartlett estimate could then be considered to be artifactual caused by leakage. This extra energy here could be interpreted as being caused by leakage because of the use of rectangular window. And compared to this spectrum, which has these variations, the Hanning window leads to a smoother spectrum because of smoothing. So those are some of the points regarding the use of windows. If you give me just a moment, I want to see where I am. And determine when to take a break. Okay, let's discuss this and then we'll take a break. Estimation of the autocorrelation function. Now, this is going round and round actually. It depends upon which method you use first, which quantity you obtain first, and then derive the other one. We have two quantities or entities here, the autocorrelation function and the pass spectral density. If you get the autocorrelation first, then you take the Fourier transform that gives you the pass spectral density. If you have the pass spectral density, you take the inverse transform, it gives you the autocorrelation. So having one is equivalent to having the other. But which method are you going to use to estimate one of them? Autocorrelation, there is no averaging that's been proposed, such as segmenting the signal and so on. Instead, the procedure we saw just now to get an improved power spectral density estimate such as the Bartlett and the Welch procedures are defined to compute a smooth estimate of the power spectral density. They are designed for that purpose. So if you have a good estimate of the power spectral density using one of these procedures, then the recommendation now is take the inverse transform of that and you get a good estimate of the autocorrelation. So good estimates of the autocorrelation function are required in applications such as the design of the optimal Wiener filter. We saw earlier in the design of the Wiener filter, we need the autocorrelation function if you want to derive the coefficients of the filter in the time domain. We also saw the equivalent in the frequency domain involving the power spectral density. But in a practical implementation, you could possibly deal with autocorrelation functions. And also to estimate the statistics of stochastic processes. After a power spectral density estimate has been obtained using the Bartlett or the Welch procedure, you could take the inverse Fourier transform and that gives you an estimate of the ACF. We may also fit a smooth curve or a parametric model such as a Gaussian or a Laplacian and so on depending upon the nature of the signal and the spectrum and the autocorrelation function. So it's up to you as to which one you want to get first and which method you have and prefer or is suitable. Assuming now that the Bartlett or the Welch methods will be used to get an estimate of the power spectral density function, we have that as a good estimate. We could further modify it by fitting a model such as a Gaussian or a Laplacian and then take the inverse transform, Fourier transform, which will give us the autocorrelation. And because of the smoothing and modeling procedures involved, it is expected that the autocorrelation function so obtained will be better than an autocorrelation function computed directly from the signal data. So the autocorrelation phi 2m, which we saw earlier, is defined in this manner. It is an even function, so we need to compute it only for positive m. The autocorrelation function estimate is 1 over n times the linear convolution of xn with x minus n. So we noted when discussing the matched filter that convolution and correlation are interrelated in this manner. Autocorrelation is convolution of xn, not with itself, but with x minus n. So you just have to reverse one. So DFT of xn is xk, which is the DFT of, or if the DFT of xn is written as xk, then the DFT of x minus n is x star k, just the conjugate. So convolution in time domain is multiplication in the frequency domain, which says xk x star k. This translates to xk multiplied with its conjugate, which is magnitude square of the Fourier transform. So to get the autocorrelation, you can take the spectral density and take the inverse DFT. There are again a few important issues. The DFT provides circular convolution and not linear convolution. So you pad xn with at least m minus 1 zeros if you're going to do convolution. M is the largest lag for which the autocorrelation function is desired to be computed, and then the DFT must be computed with at least L equal to n plus m minus 1 samples to facilitate linear convolution. And then n is the number of samples in the original signal here. So include these steps in the averaged periodogram procedure. Take the inverse DFT of the final power spectral density estimate and that gives you an estimate of the autocorrelation function. Include a scale factor of 1 over n if you wish or normalize, divide by phi 0 and then you get a normalized autocorrelation function. So the same procedure can be modified to compute the autocorrelation function for both positive and negative lags if you wish or one half and the other half is the same in this manner. So they are equivalent. The relationship is just the Fourier transform, but if you want to have a procedure to get the autocorrelation function, this is the one. Okay, we'll stop here and continue at 2 o'clock.